Yeah, so let's start with Malbim on Perek Dalet. Okay, let's go. Perek Dalet. Okay, so the last time again we learned about Haman's plot and his secretive plot that he launched this like double sent letters, one telling everybody to prepare for war, Hel Rachel Brown, one telling everybody to prepare for war, and the other one telling them who they're gonna fight against, which was a secret. But again, Hashem foiled his plot, and the first pasuk of Perek Dalet starts like this: Umordechai yada, Mordechai knew. As Kol Asher Na'aseh, everything that had happened, Vayikra Mordechai es Begadav, Vayilbash Sak Ve'efer, Mordechai tears his clothes, and he wears sackcloth, Vayitzi B'soch Ha'ir, and he goes out to the center of the city, Vayizak Zaka Gedola Umara, and he cries out a loud and bitter cry. Well, not even loud, right? Gedola, yeah, loud, right? Gedola and Mara. Okay, so again, Mordechai Yada. Malbim says, how did Mordechai know? How did Mordechai know? Guys, because he's Mordechai. Yoshev Basamayim Yishak. This is, I believe, probably like the biblical source for the idiom, man plans and God laughs, right? Hi, Sherry. Yeah, so happy to have you with us. Right, man plans and God laughs. Haman had magically, again, pulled off this absolute coup where like literally not a single person knew what was in those scrolls and what his plot was, except that Hashem reveals it to Mordechai and everything goes downhill for Haman very quickly after that. Within like five days, right? That all this went downhill for him, which is again just like fascinating to see. Okay, v'im kol machshavo shechashav sheyishar hadavar so besod, all of the different strategies that Haman had to keep this a secret, no da hadavar lo Mordechai al yedei hashgachas Hashem. Hashgachas Hashem. Hashem probably, I don't know, nevuah, is Mordechai one of the nevim? Does anyone know? I think so, but I'm not sure. So, right, and Hashem basically told Mordechai, and then everything went there. So then he had two strategies. What are his two strategies? Listen to the pasuk, okay? Vayikra Mordechai es begadav, vayishbash sak ve'efer. He tears his clothes, and he wears sackcloth. So what strategy is that? Meaning, what's he doing? Why is he doing that? Which is first mode of attack after he understands all this. Again, Haman is now going to obliterate the Jews. So Mordechai takes two actions immediately. What are they? Number one, what? Vayilbash sak ve'efer. What's he doing? Yeah.
Morning.
Right. Meaning, what's he engaged in? I mean, not quite mourning, right? Mourning is like it's a lost cause. He's despairing and he's like mourning the fate of the Jews, right? So not exactly, but I mean that's a good translation of what it says. But what's behind it? Why is he doing this? Mom says, Chuvo Tfila, right? His first objective is like, again, like you're saying, to go into a state of mourning in order to do tshuva and tfila and evoke that in other people. Okay, and what's his second strategy? He's his public figure. He wears sackcloth and he goes into the middle of the city and he starts crying loudly. He's making a whole ruckus. So why is that the other part of his strategy? Why is he making a whole ruckus? Loudly.
Get people's attention.
Good. Get people's attention because what?
They're in danger.
Yeah, and they don't
know anything.
Because right now, there are only two people who know what's going on, Haman and Mordechai. So Mordechai's first strategy is to start doing tshuva and tefillah. And his second strategy is to get everybody to know, every single Jew, every single non-Jew. He knows what's in that sealed envelope, and he wants everyone to know, including Esther, who doesn't know, and Ahasuerus, who doesn't know. Okay, so that's Mordechai's two approaches that he takes in this pasuk. Okay, pasuk beis. V'yavo ad lifnei shaar ha-melech, and he comes all the way up to like the gate before, I guess, the palace of the king. Ki'in levo el shaar ha-melech bilvush sak. Right, so he goes everywhere. He's going. He's literally walking through the streets, crying and raising the awareness of this. And he doesn't. And again, he comes up to the Shaar HaMelech because he wants also Esther and the king to know about it. But he doesn't go, again, Ki'in Levo El Shaar HaMelech, again, is like a little bit of an ambiguous term. But the way that Malam reads it is that, like, you know, he's doing a very ostentatiously weird thing. He's coming into the Shaar HaMelech screaming and crying and wearing sackcloth. So he's basically very strategically attracting a lot of attention to himself, also genuinely, but also strategically, right? Attracting a lot of attention, especially in the Shaar HaMelech, where it's like even weirder to have him, who's like a mechubad person, doing this kind of thing. Okay? B'chol midina u'midina, b'mikom asher dvar ha-melech v'daso magia. So all the places that had gotten the scrolls, right? All the places that this, dato ha-melech, the proclamation of the king that we learned about last parak, all the places that reached, evil gadol le'yehudim. Suddenly, the Jews all go into mourning, right? They all start crying and being upset. V'tomu b'chayu mispeid, and they start crying and lamentations and fasting. Sak v'ifer yutzel l'rabim, and they distribute sackcloth to everybody. Right? So again, it's interesting because this pasuk, the fact that the pasuk is located here and not in the previous parak, shows us that it was Mordechai's public demonstration that told the Jews what was going on. Right? Because we didn't have this pasuk after Tezvav, right, of the last parak. Haratzim yetu d'chufim. Quickly, everybody goes out and they give, and v'hadas nidna b'du Shushan arbira, and they give out the proclamation or whatever, the scrolls they basically distribute in Shushan, and the reaction there is confusion. Nobody has any idea what's going on. And now that Mordechai starts mourning, now the Jews' reaction is, you know, absolute panic and mourning and tshuva and tefillah. And again, I heard one time a quote, which makes a lot of sense, that the only thing, I think it was Mark Twain, who said, nothing travels faster than bad news, with the exception of worse news. So again, right, like they had gone out, the Dato HaMelech, right, like the scrolls of the king had gone out, and then also what had gone out is this bad news that Mordechai now revealed, and again, it spread very quickly. That's how the Malbim sees it. So everyone now, you know, is aware of Haman's plan, which is just fascinating, right? Haman, like, it seemed to be the same day, I don't know, the next day. Like, Haman has this great plan, he launches it, and suddenly everybody knows about it. Vatavona Naros Esther Vesarisaha Vyagidula. Okay, so the servants of Esther basically see again Mordechai's plan has worked, right? He's alerted the attention of everybody. They go to Esther and they tell her what's going on. Vasischachal Hamakimaod, and she gets very like sick over it. She gets like all, you know, anxious and distressed over it. Distress is probably a good word. Vatishlach Begadim Lahalbishas Mordechai. And she sends these clothes to dress Mordechai. Ulahasir Sako Me'alav Velo Kibel. And to tell him to take off his sackcloth, and he doesn't accept it. So again, I always read this, like, why is Esther trying to do this? I was always like, Esther, like, why are you trying to get more? Like, obviously Mordechai has a cheshbin, like, why are you? So again, the first is, like, she doesn't know. She doesn't yet know what's going on. So she's just like, I don't know what she thought. Like, right? But Malam says, like, she was trying to get him to at least put on the clothes over the sackcloth so that he would be allowed to come in and they can have a conversation about it. Right? She's like, I get it. Something's going on and something is like panicking, right? Like, can you imagine? She's just like walking in the garden and all of a sudden, like, she's like, okay, I know something huge is going on, but she wants him to put on the sackcloth and come in and have a conversation with her about it so they could talk about it, right? Velo kibel. He doesn't accept it. It's like, yishmak hashkafa. Why doesn't Mordechai accept it? Okay, here it is. Batishlach. Ratzazeli shmoa hadavar mipi Mordechai. She wants to speak to Mordechai and hear what's going on. Mazos, look, what's going on? Batishlach begadim shagilbash al sak ba'ofen shayaser sako me'alav v'shalo yihiya al begadav rak tachas begadav yuchali kanes b'shar melech. She wants to allow him to come into the shar melech so that they can have a conversation about what's going on. V'lo kibel. Why doesn't he accept it? Ki lo ratza lahafsik rega mitachanunim. He doesn't want to stop mourning for a second. Right, he's wearing these cloths as a form of tshuva and tefillah, and why should he take them off so that he can go have a 15-minute conversation with Esther? Right, to Mordechai, like that's not a good enough cheshbon. Why? Shezeh ke'uzev bitchono me'Hashem. It would be as if he was like deserting his bitachon of Hashem that Hashem's going to help him. V'somech al Ezra's basar. Right, it's too much. That would be like crossing the line. And again, you're going to see throughout this parak, it's like, it's mind-blowing. The cheshbonos, I was just talking to my husband about this also, just like afterwards, like the cheshbonos that Mordechai makes, right? As the tzaddik, as the leader of this generation, like he does two things, right? When he learns about this gezeira, al yidei hashgachas Hashem, he davens and he also starts to strategize. Everybody needs to know about this, including Esther and the king. So he wears sak ve'efer and does tefillah and tshuva, but he doesn't just do it in the shul. And in the Beis Medrash, he goes in public and he makes sure that every Jew knows about it. And he goes all the way to the Shar HaMelech so that Esther and the king know about it. Right? But then when Esther says to him, come, let's have a 15-minute conversation. Just stop for 15 minutes so I can know what's going on. He's like, no way. Right? That cheshbon is like, oh, that's crossing the line. I don't need to have an in-person conversation if we can go back and forth through Hasach. And when we're not literally having that conversation, I'll continue to do tshuva and tefillah. Right? So again, you see that he's like both strategizing and being like, absolutely not crossing over that line of actually depending on anybody to save him but Hashem, but also not being like, okay, I'm going to be a hermit, let's all go to the mountains and like daven and stay away from the rest of like the political intrigue of how to get this done. So it's like, again, he's really functioning in both worlds, and he knows exactly when to step over that line and when, or like when not, he knows where the line is that he's not going to step over. And again, you're going to see it again and again throughout this paragraph.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Hassaf knew about Esther?
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like Hassaf was the trusted advisor. He calls it, I think he calls it a confidant. I forgot what word he said that I was like, oh, that means confidant. Maybe Ahuv Mashukaza. But yeah, it does sound like they were trusting Hassaf. He was the one who was leading this conversation. And again, it also just shows like how dysfunctional the court was, that like nobody figured out that Esther was related to Mordecai. Like I can't even, now that I'm reading this, I'm like, how do they not know? Like, how is it not public knowledge? She's sending messages to Mordecai, she's all upset about Mordecai. Mordecai comes to talk to her, like, right? But it's like, okay, we all see like dysfunctional organizations, and like the kingdom was one of them. They lived next to the king and he had no idea who she was. Okay, anyways. Okay, Vatikra Esther l'Hasach. So Esther calls Hasach. And also, by the way, yeah, there's a medrash that Hasach is Daniel. So again, like somebody like on the inside. Misari say Hamelech Asher ha'amid lefaneha v'tetaveyu al Mordechai. Okay, and so she commands Hasach to go tell Mordechai this message. L'das maza ve'al maza. You know, what is this about and what is this about? What is this about and on what is this about? Right, so again, Malbim says, what is maza ve'al maza? K'derech harofe ha'omen. Haba l'rafo zacholi shachoker mahu zacholi. Right, when your doctor comes, he's like, "Oh, what's the matter? Oh, you have symptoms of, you know, your finger hurts and your fingernail hurts and all your fingernails hurt." Okay, right. So he's trying to figure out what's going on. But then al maza, like, really? Okay, maybe are you having an allergic reaction to something? Did you eat something that you're not supposed to eat? Right. He's trying to figure out what's going on, like the symptoms and the cause of the symptoms. Right. The cause and the effect, basically, or whatever. The symptoms and the cause of the symptoms. V'gam hasiba shaba uvura ba hacholi. Ratzalamar. Right? What's the bad and what are the consequences of that bad that is existent? You can't get rid of the symptoms without getting rid of the thing that's causing the symptoms, right? So she's basically trying to figure out what are you freaking out about and what is causing this freaking out aboutness? Which again, I'm not sure exactly how deep, right? We already had, like, Malbim gave a different mashal of a rofe, of a healer, right? And we talked about, like, you know, the real issue that's the matter that's causing, you know, the maka is only to heal the thing. So again, Mordechai doesn't go so deep. So let's hear his response. What does he respond? This is, again, blows my mind. It's like awesomeness. I love this parak. Okay, vayitze pasuk vav. Vayitze Hasach el Mordechai. So Hasach goes to Mordechai. El Rechov Ha'ir Asher Lifnei Shar Melech. Okay, so he goes out to Mordechai. Vayaged lo Mordechai. Is kol asher karahu. Mordechai tells Hasach all that has happened to him. V'yes parasha zakesef asher amar Haman lishkol aginze hamelech v'yehudim la'abdam. And again, the bride, like all of the, it sounds like all the plans of Haman, including after the Jews are dead, then he'll take their spoils and he'll use that to pay off Achashverosh for the work that he said that other people wanted to do, which they don't want. Fine. So he basically tells her all the details. Bamba says this, right? He told her two things. Is kol asher karahu, everything that happened to him, and everything that Haman did. So Mama says, what does it mean, es kol asher karahu, everything that happened to him? Es kol asher karahu, techila higilo hasiba. The first thing that he answers is to tell her the reason, the disease. What's going on, which is what? So again, when I first read that line to Mama, what do you think Mama's going to say? Like, what's the disease? I'm like, oh good, Mama's going to tell me like why this whole story is happening. Which she doesn't do, which is fine. All right, but like, what does Mordechai say to Esther? Like, why is the reason all this is happening? Every single time I read the Megillah, which is like fascinating, and it's not only the Megillah, it's like any part of Torah, anytime I'm reading and actually paying attention, every year I encounter something that like I didn't know. So this to me was the thing this year that I did not know, or like I never paid attention to it, I never realized it, and it literally, I keep using this word, it blew my mind. Right? What does Mordechai say that, as kol asher karehu, everything that happened to him, what does he say? Techila higilo hasiba. The first thing that he told her is why all this is happening anyways, and then he'll talk about the symptoms. Right? But the issue here is that what? Shehu haya hamesuvev. He's the problem. Mordechai told Esther, I'm the problem. Because why? Al yidei shelo hishtachave l'Haman. I didn't bow down to Haman. And that's why all this is happening. Can you imagine that? So Mordechai says, hu hasiba. He's the problem. What's the problem? I didn't bow down to Haman. So Haman got mad at me and he decided that he's going to obliterate the Jews. Okay, the reason this blew my mind is because later on, in the next parak, I like never noticed this before, right? Then Mordechai and Esther do this whole strategy and go through this whole thing. They come up with a plan, right, of like how to save the Jews. And then what happens? It's like probably later on in that conversation, like he has a conversation with Esther. He walks like 15 feet away and he sits back down or whatever. And he's continuing to saying to Helen, you know, fine, which, like, he, whatever he's doing. And what happens? Haman walks back by. And what does Mordechai do? You know what he does? He does nothing. Lo kam velo za. One second, where's the actual phrase? It's in hey. Sorry, one second, let me just find it. Right? Fine. Okay, Vayitze Haytes, Vayitze Haman Beyomahu, Sameach Vatov Lev. Right, this is after Esther's parties, right? Again, it's the next, whatever, fine, so it's the next day. V'chiroz Haman es Mordechai, B'shar Hamelech. Haman sees Mordechai, V'lo kam V'lo zam Mimenu. He does not move. He doesn't get up for him, he doesn't bow down to him, he doesn't move. V'yimelei Haman al Mordechai Chema. Haman starts freaking out. So again, Mordechai understood that he was the problem. The entire Jews, can you imagine this? There's one gadol. The entire Jews have been written out to death because he didn't bow down to Haman. And he's going in this whole strategy, tefillah and tshuva and getting Esther to risk her life. He told her to commit suicide. That's what he told Esther to do in the attempt to save the Jews. But when Haman walks back by, Mordechai does not bow down to him. He is not crossing that line. Mordechai, again, we don't know Mordechai's cheshbonos. I don't know. Malvin doesn't say it, and the pasuk doesn't say it. We don't know Mordechai's cheshbonos about it. He's so sure that this is not okay. But he is so sure that that's not okay. He is so sure that what God wants from him is not to bow down to Haman. So he's going to do this whole strategy. The entire Jewish people is about to be wiped out because one person, him, didn't bow down to Haman, and he knows that. He told Esther he's the problem. He knows he's the problem. But when Haman walks by, he is absolutely indifferent. He doesn't care. This is not about Haman. This is not about him and Haman. He feels no pressure to do what Haman wants him to do just because everyone's been, like, sentenced to death, including Esther and himself and all the Jews because of him. It's like, mind, I don't know, that blew my mind. It also blew my mind, by the way, that Haman that therefore tried to kill him, like, the next morning. So in Haman's plan, which, again, I never noticed. You guys notice this stuff? Like, I don't know why. I've been teaching this for years. I never noticed this. In Mordechai's mind, in Haman's mind, he would have killed Mordechai, who was really his problem. And then, like, whatever, 10 months later, he would have killed the Jews. So, like, he wanted to kill the Jews because of Mordechai, but then he really planning on killing Mordechai immediately, but then the whole gezeirah against the Jews would still stand in 10 months, even though he'd already gotten rid of, like, the person who, like, instigated it all. Which I think is also why we talk about, like, Agagi, like, Amalek, right? It's really anti-Semitic to, like, hate Mordechai, anyways decide to kill the Jews, anyways decide to kill Mordechai first, and then still kill all the Jews. Right? Which, again, is, I think, we hype up Haman is a really evil guy, which we talked about last time. You know, he's like, he's legit evil. Okay, fine. So we have to keep going. Oh, my goodness. Right? So Mordechai told her everything that happened to him, meaning that it's his fault. Okay? And then all the things that Haman's now doing. Right? He can't give her the sealed envelope that was only given to, like, the noblemen, basically, who were in charge of the Medinos. But the flyer, so to speak, that told everybody to prepare for war, he has. That's public knowledge. And he gives it to Hachtsach to show to Esther. Right? And he's telling her, my plan, this is the plan that we're going to now embark on, is that you go to the king and you ask him to save the Jews. So Hasach goes back and tells Esther. So again, it says, like, why did it say she told Hasach and she commanded him on Mordechai? Is interestingly, she was worried that someone was going to, like, pick up the fact that he's going back and forth and conveying these messages. So she told Hasach to tell somebody else to tell this to Mordechai, which is why the next time they say it to Mordechai, it's in plural, which is interesting instead of just him telling him. Fine. Okay, this is what she says. Kol avdei hamelech v'am medinos hamelech yodim. Everybody knows. Hi, Emily. Right? Everybody knows. Kol ish v'isha asher yavo l'melech el chatzar panimis asher lo yigra achas dato l'hamis. Everybody knows that the rule is that anybody comes to the king without being invited is sentenced to death. Emily, can you just mute yourself for a second?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no worries. Please, never ever apologize. Ever about anything. I mean, maybe about some things, but not really. Okay. Where are we? Okay, Lahamis Levan Me'asher Yoshi Lo Hamelech Asher Vitaza Havachaya. Except if he stretches out his scepter, and then the person is allowed to live. Vani Lo Nigresi Levo El Hamelech Zeshloshimia. And I haven't been called these 30 days. So again, that's an ambiguous reference, right? Is she saying, like, I haven't been called 30 days? This is, like, a bad idea because he's going to kill me. Or is she saying, which again, the mom reads it as, I haven't been called 30 days. Like, it's not going to be long before I call again, right? So Esther's basically here, which is interesting. She's arguing Mordecai's strategy. Mordecai just told her, my strategy is you go to the king and you tell him to save us. And Esther's like, hold on a second. Let's strategize like a little bit differently here. Everybody knows, right? If I go and start a conversation with the king, let me read it to you inside because it's like pretty interesting. Esther Yirele Shloach Hasach, just kidding. Okay. Hishiva lo shtei tana. She has two issues with his strategy. Tana achas ki im tikanais ata tiyah besafek sakana. V'gam lo sagi limchos chavtza levakesh ba'arama. Right. She has an issue with Mordechai's strategy because she understands that the Jews are in massive trouble. And she's saying to him, I have two reasons that I think this plan is going to fail. And if this plan fails, boy, are we in trouble. Because we don't really have a great backup plan. There's no great plan B. So if I'm trying to get the king to listen to me, like maybe, and to save the Jews, if I'm trying to get the king to save the Jews, let's maybe plan a different plan because this one I think is going to fail for two reasons and there's no good plan B. And then what happens to Bnei Israel? Which is like a little bit more than like, I don't want to do it. Right? It's like, if we fail, this is really, really bad news for the Jews. Okay. Right? Everybody knows this rule, and the king knows that everybody knows this rule. I can't like feign ignorance. He knows that if I come to his throne room without being... Okay, I'm going to skip. She basically says, you know, the rule apparently in Persia was that you were not allowed, this is like fascinating, you're not allowed to initiate a conversation with Ahasuerus, right? And she says, Achaz dato lahamis, right? Anybody, kol ish ve'isha, no, it doesn't matter, it's not like if you have a good reason, you don't get killed, and if you have a bad reason that Ahasuerus thinks is really dumb, he's going to kill you. It's that anybody, at any time, kol ish ve'isha, achaz dato lahamis, you are killed if you initiate a conversation with a king. So she's saying, like, there isn't a question about whether or not it's going to be okay that I do this. It is not okay that I do this. I am going to do this, and I am Chayav Misa. I'm not risking being Chayav Misa. I am going to do this, and my fate is now that I have assigned myself to being killed by the king. Hands down. There's no question about that. And she says also, again, right, we know that Ahasuerus did this whole beauty pageant, not paying attention to Yichus, because he really wanted subjugation out of his queens. And she's saying, you know, this is a really risky maneuver because I'm the queen. I'm going to be like, you know, defiant to this rule that everybody knows and everybody has the same fate. And Ahasuerus is going to have to react. He's going to be forced to react because he's going to have to react to me in the same way that he reacted to Vashti by this public display of insubordinance. And he's going to have to put me to death. Like, this is not a, this doesn't have a lot of success, right? Like, I'm worried about that part of it. Okay, let's go up, close us a little bit. Right, and again, once you go, right, let's say once you go to him, everybody who does this, everyone who initiates a conversation with the king, he must die. Except sometimes the king decides to pardon them. But not sometimes he decides to kill them. He always decides to kill them. And sometimes he decides to pardon them also. Right, and let's say I go in, and he decides that he doesn't want to kill me. He's already done me a favor. He's already done me a favor because he decided not to kill me. And now I'm going to ask him also not to kill all the Jews? Like, that's a little much. Right? It's a little too much to ask from him. Please, I'm going to come in. Please pardon me. And now that you pardon me, please pardon everyone else too. Right? It's going to have to be enough for me that he didn't kill me. Forget about him not killing other people. Right? Tana habez ki lahatzi lekuchi mimabez. Okay. And right. And our other strategy is like, listen, if you're going to try to strategize, you should go with the most likely a successful course first. So, you know, I haven't been called for 30 days. Probably I'll be called in a few more days. Like, let's just wait. Isn't that a better idea? Like, let's not go to like the extremes of this and try to do it right now. Let's just wait until I get called and then I'll have a conversation with him and I don't have to like worry about all these cheshbonos of like maybe he's gonna kill me because and if he pardons me and then he's gonna pardon Bnei Israel, right? Like, she's also worried. She's worried about like the strategy is gonna fail. Okay? Okay. Vayegidu leMordechai. So again, in plural, Vayegidu leMordechai. Whoever Hasach told it to Mordechai, it's divrei Esther. Vayomer Mordechai laHashivel Esther. So Mordechai says back. We're going to do the next two psukim together because again, it kind of has to be like linked. Do not like think in your soul that you will be saved with the house of the king from all of the Jews. Ki'im ha'charish tacharishi be'ez hazos. Because if you keep quiet at this time, revach v'hatzala ya'amud li'yehudim mimakom acher. Space and salvation will come up for the Jews from a different place. And you and the house of your fathers will be destroyed. And who knows if for this time, if for a time like this, you have been promoted to queenship, to rulership. Okay, and again, this is what sways her. So we got to learn it a little bit inside. I'm going to go through it quickly, okay? He tells her three important things. And these are general hashkafos, okay? Mordechai explains to Esther three important hashkafos. Kol she'anu ro'im devar ha'yotzi min ha'regilos ha'teva tzurichem anu lahashis as lev al lev ki Hashem asahu. Whenever you see something happening that is very much outside of the regular, you have to make an assumption about that. You have to take it to heart and make an assumption. And the assumption is that Hashem himself has created this out of the ordinary scenario in order to further some of his purposes. All right, so what is he talking about? What is Mordechai talking about when he's talking about that scenario? Her, right, being selected for the king. It's like hilarious, right? We talked about that last time. Like, of all the people, like, he picked like a really like Edomito, like amazing Mido stick Beis Yaakov girl to be his queen. It's like very weird, right? And Mordechai saying this weird thing happened. We didn't know for years like what it meant, but we know that it's out of the ordinary, so it has to mean something. It has to be going somewhere, so we have to make the assumption that the reason that you're queen is to further something from Hashem, something that Hashem wants of his world. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. Okay, B. What's the second principle, Hashkafic principle that he tells her? L'chol tzara haba al Yisrael, yesh eis mugbal v'zman yom. V'yom ha'kasa muchan l'teshua al yedei ha'chanos v'asibo sheheichin l'yeshua. Every issue, every problem, every whatever scenario that Bnei Israel encounter that's hard, there is a specific time at which they will be saved. Okay, there is a time at which the time has come for them to be saved, and then ends game. V'im lo yoshia al yedei siba achas, v'hechrech ya'amid laham Hashem siba acheres, l'hatzel asam, ki lo yitosh Hashem asamo. Every issue that Bnei Israel encounter, there's a time where they will be saved. And Hashem has a million and one ways that he can make that happen. If one way doesn't work, there will be another way that will work, because Hashem would never abandon his people. So Hashem's not like, I hope this works, but if the people choose not to, like, oh well. Right? Hashem has ways that he will make it happen. Okay? The third principle that he lays out. Kol davar she'in metziyoso ba'avur atzmo, rak ba'avur davar acher. Anything that exists, not for itself, but for the sake of something else. Metziyoso v'kiyumo talui ba'davar shehu hahu, asher ba'avura hu nimza. Right? It's dependent on this other thing. Kimashal, and he gives it a mashal. He says, like, let's say you have a greenhouse, right? You want to grow crops. You're a farmer. You want to grow crops. And you want to grow crops not only in the summer, but you want to grow crops in the winter. So you build a greenhouse. So the existence of the greenhouse is dependent on what? How would you phrase that? What's the existence of the greenhouse dependent on? It's not like you built it. It's not like you built, you know, I don't know, a fountain because like you like the fountain. You built the fountain because you like the fountain and you want the fountain. It's pretty. What's the existence of the greenhouse dependent on? Let's put it this way. Under what situations, under what circumstances would you destroy the greenhouse?
If there were no more winter.
Good. Awesome, Emily, right? The greenhouse is dependent on the winter. Or another way you could phrase it is the greenhouse is dependent on you wanting crops even in the winter, right? If you become a millionaire and you no longer have to grow crops in the wintertime or the summertime, you're going to destroy that greenhouse. If you move to Florida, you're not going to bring that greenhouse with you, right? You have that greenhouse because you want to grow crops in the wintertime. So the greenhouse exists because of something else. So that's the third principle. There are things in the world that only exist because of something else. Okay. Al pi zos chava Esther l'das. Ki achar shekol mitziusa b'mala hazo lihios b'veis ha'malchus. Right? So again, this is like the third thing. He takes it to practicality. He's saying to Esther, you know, your whole existence in the Beis HaMalchus, ina bavur atzma, rak bavur hatzalas ha'yuhudim. It's not for you. Your whole existence in the kingship is not because Hashem wants you to be queen. It's because Hashem wants to save the Jews. Ubal im kach hiz min Hashem gam sibos acheros rechokos sheba'im And also, again, going back to the second thing, Hashem is not dependent on Esther saving the Jews. The Jews need to be saved. This is the time that the Jews should be saved. So if she's not going to do it, someone else will do it. So she should assume something about reality. Mordechai here is trying to change her perspective. He's saying to her, you need to see reality that you only exist in this position because B'nai Yisrael need to be saved. Not because of you. Hamugba shehi ata, right? And this time is coming now to save the Jewish people. V'im tavor ha'es ha'hi v'lo tiz azar chayel lahatzil bein kach yagiyu sibas acheros. And if you don't, you know, get the strength up right now to advocate for B'nai Yisrael, someone else will save them. Right, Hashem's not going to make the salvation of Bnei Yisrael dependent on someone else's bechira. That if they choose not to, then Bnei Yisrael is doomed. Okay. Right. Don't think that the reason that you are in this power position is because this is what you are. This is your fate. Right. Move on, my love. Of course. Like, I'm in this power position because of me. No. Lo, bishvil ha-yehudim b'hatzalasam. No, it is because you are supposed to be saving the Jews. You are in this position because the Jews need to be saved. Al tachshavi she'at hi ha'ikir b'hatzalas ha-yehudim yamshich mimich b'mikra. Don't think that you are the centerpiece here. And since you're the queen, the Jews might be saved. Right? Don't think that you are the queen. And since you are the queen, you have the chance to save the Jews. Why? Ki neha pochuv. No, it's exactly the opposite, he's telling her. It's exactly the opposite. She'ikr hi beveis hamelech hu rak she'tiyah sima li'teshuas Yisrael. No, no, no. B'nai Yisrael need to be saved. And that's why you are the queen. Not that you are the queen, so hopefully you could save B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael need to be saved, and that's why you are the queen. I mean, that's awesome, isn't it? Like, if you think about that in your own life, it's like, where am I getting that backwards? Okay, and again, in the next pasuk... he's repeating himself a little bit. Again, let me just see if there's anything that we need to read. Okay, fine. So the next passage, like, he focuses on the fact that he says, im la'is kazos, he got l'machus. So really, Malam reads that im ke'is, im la'is hazos, he got l'machus, right? Maybe for this time. And he's basically saying to her, the time has come. I don't know how Mordechai knows that. He's a Navi, I think, right? I think that's how he knows it. But he's saying the time for Teshuva has come. So your choice is not whether or not Bnei Yisrael will be saved. Bnei Yisrael will be saved. Your choice is whether or not to try to make it through your hands. And if you don't do it right now, you may lose the chance forever. And Hashem will be Mesovev, a different thing. Like, he'll make happen a different thing that will swoop in and save Bnei Yisrael. And Atu Beisel Vitovedu. You and your father's house will be destroyed. Why? Because now you're a greenhouse without the winter. Now the whole reason, remember, that you were a queen is because the Jews need to be saved. So if the Jews no longer need to be saved, then you no longer need to be queen. And you won't be anymore. You're going to be a destroyed greenhouse because you've given up your purpose that you were there for. Whew, you know what I mean? Okay. And Vatomer Esther, so this changes her mind. Vatomer Esther, Lahashiv al Mordechai, and why does it change her mind? This is also fascinating. Vatomer Esther, Lahashiv al Mordechai, Esther says to reply to Mordechai, Leich Kenosis Kol Yudim, go gather everybody, Hanim Zayim B'Shushan, V'Tzumu Elai, who are being found in Shushan, and let them fast on me. Va'al Tochlu, Va'al Tishtu Shloshes Yomim Laila V'Yom. Right, go get a fast and have them davening and have them doing tefillah and have them doing tshuva. Ga'amani V'Na'ar Asayatum came, and we're also gonna fast and do tshuva. U'Bachin Avo El Melech Asher Lo Kedas. And I will go to the king that in a way that is not allowed. And again, that will make me, it's a suicide, you know, it's a kamikaze mission. I understand that. Bekasher avadati, avadati. And if I'm lost, I'm lost. So Mama says this, which I never like thought about for Esther, but he says she was reassured a little bit by what Mordechai said. Less than motivated. She was maybe also motivated, but also reassured. Because what he told her is that even if she fails, then even if the mission fails, it's going to be okay for the Jews. Right, she was basically saying to him, like, this is a little risky, and if I get killed, like, what's happening to the Jewish people? And so here she says, kasher avadati, avadati. If I get killed, I got killed. If I get killed here, it's fine, so I'm not the one who's going to save them, but as long as you're reassuring me that they will be saved, I can breathe a little bit easier. and I'm going to do my part to try to make sure that they're saved. And if it's not me, it'll come through something else. And I don't have to make all these cheshbonos to make sure that it happens through my hands. It'll happen through someone else's hands then. And she's like reassured by what Mordechai says. Okay. Vayavor Mordechai vayas kechol asher tivsa alav Esther. And Mordechai does everything that Esther now commands him. It's the first time that he's gotten a command from Esther, and he goes and does everything that Esther says him. Okay, so that's the end of Perek Dalad. Perek Hay is like fantastic. Again, just finishing off that story, we know that Achashverosh does not kill her. Again, even though she's subordinate, Malma says something like fascinating, which also I think is like a big important lesson, where he says that Achashverosh actually never assumed that that law did apply to her. And he was like surprised that she thought that it applied to her. So again, he is intolerant of insubordination, but he never assumed that her coming would be insubordinate. In fact, he read the situation exactly the opposite. He read the fact that she thought that she was under the law as like her being really humble and subordinate. So the fact that she would not approach him until he stretched out the sharvit, until he like figured out why she wasn't and stretched out the sharvit as a hug, he read that it was matzachin beinav. He like really found that very affectionate because it showed him how humble she really was. That she thought that the law applied to her when he never thought that it would. Right? So he didn't like magically change his personality to save Esther, right? Like Hashem didn't like magically change people's like internal psyches. He just interpreted the situation differently than she interpreted the situation, and that's why he didn't kill her. Or whatever, right? And that's why he wasn't like upset by the bit insubordination, because he actually interpreted it as like not insubordination. And again, and the whole thing with like Haman and Mordechai that blew my mind. So again, here we just see this need to tshuva and tefillah and understanding a certain amount of absolute security that we have in Hashem, that Hashem will save the Jews, Hashem will save us. We don't doubt that. We don't need to make cheshbonos to convince Hashem that that should happen. Hashem does not abandon people to other people's bechira. Hashem does not abandon the Jews to other people's bechira. Hashem will save the Jews. But when we are the greenhouse and what we're dependent on, right? Like what Hashem has us in his world to be a greenhouse for. And us needing to step up, that's what it sounds like, you know? I was thinking like the quote that says like Bimkom She'ein Ish, Yishtadel Yos Ish. It's time dependent. It's not like Bimkom She'ein Ish. If you see a need that isn't being met, okay, in 25 years from now, you should deal with it. It's like there's some sort of time constraint there. Bimkom She'ein Ish, Yishtadel Yos Ish. If you have to be an Ish, go do it. Go do it right now. Now is the time. If you see the need, like now is the time to have to like also take action in Ba'alma, right? In the actual world, to do what you think Hashem wants, but also like never cross that boundary of thinking that it's because of you. And that it isn't absolute certainty that Hashem will save the Jewish people. And you're just playing your role in that. V'kasher avadati avadati. And if this isn't my role, I'll fail. That's okay. Guys, thank you so much for learning with me. I really appreciate it. It's just like, it's been really a pleasant experience. Hopefully